He wasn't just a leading figure in the attack, but they say the leading figure among these far-right Proud Boys who were on the front lines. Now, Tario wasn't there in Washington, D.C., but the judge nevertheless recognized that Tario, in his mind, deserved the longest sentence.
That's 22 years in a federal prison. Labor Day weekend may be the unofficial end of summer, but millions of Americans are still sweating in a major way. CBS's Omar Villafranca is in Plano, Texas, where they've been dealing with record high temps for weeks.
To tell you how much this is affecting Texas, Friday Night Lights, which is a ritual, high school football, even that is being affected. Some games being pushed back, how kids practice, how they hydrate, how they even practice during the week at school. It's an issue.
Ever get turned away from a car wash because your vehicle was too dirty? That's the problem many people who attended and got stuck at the Burning Man Festival are having now. Colin Skeen manages the Sierra Car Wash in Reno, Nevada.
We're just telling them that one of the best things you can do is just find somewhere that you can just wash your car off a little bit first, like with like a garden hose or anywhere, and then you can come bring it on through and we'll wash the rest of it off.
So why can't the car wash all that mud off? He says it is messing up their equipment.
It ends up costing us a lot of money that we shouldn't need to replace, because a lot of this equipment should last a lot longer than that, and that's just one of the bigger issues that we've been having.
The price of gas is on the rise again. AAA says those in Southern California are paying the most. KCBS-TV's Jasmine Viel.
Hi. Drivers of gas-powered cars aren't feeling as happy behind the wheel these days, with gas prices that don't seem to be easing up. In L.A. and Orange County, a regular gallon of gas is up more than 25 cents from a month ago.
President Biden has awarded the Medal of Honor to 81-year-old retired helicopter pilot Larry Taylor.
When duty called, Larry did everything to answer. And because of that, he rewrote the fate of four families for generations to come. That's valor.
The last thing you want when you bite into that sausage and pepper sandwich is bones. And Hillshire Farms is recalling 15,000 pounds of their smoked sausages because that's exactly what someone found inside. The packages were found in several states. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. Oh, thank you. What does it say? Beware. If you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of hospitalization from RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, compared to adults younger than 60.
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
This is Camp Classic. For fans of Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars, the OG granola bar that started it all. Crunch into the real honey and whole grain oats in every single bite. Nature Valley.
Purchase new wiper blades from O'Reilly Auto Parts today and we'll install them for free. See better and drive safer with O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wisc Country 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth! More Reba! Winona!
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn!
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn!
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth! More Reba!
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wisconsin.
Winona.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemiss.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms overnight, otherwise cloudy. Lows dip down to about 68, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms likely, daytime highs approaching 76. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms, lows level off around 54. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Well, we have a house. Yeah. Well, the bank has a house.
The bank's letting us stay here.
Coffee cups and empty LaCroix cans and empty disposable coffee cups.
Come find me. I dare you. I got a ring system.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Back to school. Back to school. To prove to Dad that I'm not a fool. That's all that was on my head this morning. As officially, I know some kids started in Wisconsin mid-August, but I always think of the week after Labor Day as being the official start of school. I don't think there's anyone. There's some college kids that are on trimesters that are not back. But for the most part, K through 12, everyone's back today. And I just want to ask Greg, was the first day of school a happy day, or did you dread it typically?
I dreaded it.
You dreaded it. Why?
Yeah, such a downer. I didn't like school.
Okay.
We talked about this before. I was a bullied kid. So going back to the...
Well, what did you spend your summers doing that you relished it so much?
Went outside, did Parks and Rec, played guitar, that kind of thing.
Just didn't have to be with other kids?
Didn't have to. Well, I was with other kids, but I was with other neighborhood kids versus my school was like a Catholic school, so it was a lot of kids from all over the place. So I didn't see them a lot. They weren't my neighborhood kids. So yeah.
Well, yeah. So if you have thoughts on what you used to, what the first day of school used to feel like, 844-967-2789. But a more serious question, I think, for our listeners is, what challenge are you most worried about when it comes to Wisconsin schools this year? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Because it's not a short list of things to choose from. I think the most glaring one is staff shortages in general. Not only just teachers, but as of this weekend, there's also, this weekend, there were multiple articles talking about the bus driver shortage across the state. And specifically here, right in Waukesha, I guess on August 31st, families directly impacted by canceled and adjusted routes were sent additional emails advising of the cancellations and changes. So August 31st was Thursday, and school started today.
Yeah.
So not a huge amount of time to be able to make alternative plans to get your kids to school. But this is not just a Waukesha problem. WPR also had an article out talking about, you know, an estimated average of 15 to 20% of driver positions are unfilled statewide.
It's weird you say that. My cousin posted an email that she got saying, you know how your kid was registered for buses? No.
Sorry. Which district are they in?
I think they're in Waukesha, I believe. I'm not
positive. Yeah, so that just came down last week as far as the understanding, like, oh, we do not have enough drivers. And so now they're in a scenario where there are students who will get picked up like way, 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 way early. And some kids who won't even get picked up until the first bell is already rung, because that's what the routes have to be to look like. And so there's teacher shortages, there's mental health staff shortages, there are bus driver shortages. So are you most worried about staff shortages? Are you most worried about funding and how we're bankrolling two systems? Are you most worried about the ongoing culture wars and stuff happening, whether it's anti-LGBTQ plus rhetoric from school boards or from parents, Moms for Liberty in being very invested in your school district? Is it books being banned? What are your, what is your top concern, knowing that there's a hefty competition? 844-967-2789.
Got Charles from Green Bay. Charles, what are you concerned about this school year?
Qualified teachers. I taught school for 38 years, and during that time frame, they kept changing the rules on how, you know, you, Tommy Thompson was, oh, you have to have a master's degree. Then it got to, you know, Scott Walker, we're gonna bust the unions, you know, and when I got out, it was after Scott Walker, because I was afraid he was going to do what Tommy Thompson did and try to steal money out of my retirement fund. But the fact of the matter is, you. Why don't we get back to the basics? Math, reading, science, history, and stop playing, you know, that history hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's horse manure. You know, the fact of the matter is that these people who, you know, and there's an old statement. People who teach, there are people who can teach, and the people who can't teach are politicians.
Is that an old saying? I'm not sure if I've ever heard that one before, Charles.
Who make rules for how the teachers teach.
Yeah. Well, that is always, to me, the fact that we have politicians who, you know, I think at one point, this might be a little fuzzy, but it's like something in like one-fifth of them are real estate developers or landlords. And like their actual ability of like being healthcare providers, working in schools, like it's not like a lot of them have actually done those things. But here's my question, Charles. So I hear you as far as we want qualified teachers, but as we are dealing with just a lack of teachers in general, how do you square those two things off as far as like we also just need to hire teachers? And so do we, like,
don't
how do you fix that?
To retire.
Who needs to retire?
Don't force teachers to retire.
Is that happening?
It is. It is throughout the state. I taught school for 38 years. In the last 3 months of teaching, I had two letters of reprimand put into my file for doing what I had done for 38 years.
Wow.
Excuse me. And the fact of the matter is, one situation was that I had documentation from the federal government that I could do what I was doing, and the person won't even read it. That's how the administration was working at that time. That, I'm pardon my language, but that was bunk.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, there's no reason for something when you can prove that what you're doing is legal. I was a band teacher and I was copying music. For example, let me just tell you the law. It reads something like this. It says, if you buy the music and you're, for example, there's 100 pieces of music and you have 110 people in your band, you can copy music for those other 10 people as long as you do not make a profit when you perform the music. So if I charge to come to the concert, I couldn't do it. If I do the concert for free, legally, I can do it. The person who I had would not even look at the copyright laws, which I was on the copyright law list for changes in the law. So I had a brand new, you know, like it was a, I have a book that showed what you could do. And the person would not listen, and I was insubordinate for that. So I solved that problem really easy. I had a dear friend of mine write the music for me and put my name on the music, so it's my music.
Well, thanks so much for the call, Charles. But I agree with you that we definitely need more qualified teachers. And I think that goes hand in hand with also just like attracting and retaining more teachers. So thanks for the call. We got Dave from the Shaw. Dave, what are you most concerned about this school year?
Hi, Kristen. I've got a few concerns. The first one is for the safety of my kids in class. Constantly concerned about school shootings and things like that. And my wife teaches. She's a public school teacher as well. So it's like the three people that I love the most are in public schools all day long. And I think it's like a perpetual concern. And I know that I'm not alone in sharing that. But as a resident of Waukesha and someone who has to, hear our name dragged through the mud constantly because of mishaps by the school district, like, yeah, my concern is, will it ever end in Waukesha? Like, will we ever have competent leadership that, you know, this is our third year in a row now that we're running into. We're in the news for terrible things. Mm-hmm. And it's the lunch program. It's anti-LGBTQ policies. It's free speech issues with Melissa Temple. And now here we are leading the way with bus issues that are preventing kids from being in the classroom. I've seen about the quote from Chinatown, and it's like, forget it, Kristen. It's Waukesha. that's what keeps coming. Like, that's what I'm just going to keep calling in and saying, like, every time we're in the news, just forget it, because we're always going to be in the news, unfortunately, it feels like.
Do you know, because I know you were very active, Dave, how many seats are up for re-election for the Waukesha School Board in the spring?
You know, funny enough, there's three of them up for re-election, and they're all WIS-red GOP-backed candidates that have just driven our district into the ground.
Oh, does that mean you're going to run and challenge one of them?
You know, I because my wife teaches in the district, I'm choosing not to.
Okay.
Run, but I think we've got some really qualified candidates that would be phenomenal and help us not have these issues on a perpetual basis.
Yeah, because I think that's the thing, as we like, because I don't think you're alone as far as the frustration with your own school district. I've heard from other people across the state, and that are, it's similar, right? It's other WIS red candidates. It's school boards that are focused on the wrong things instead of the bigger problems like staffing shortages. And so knowing that 6-ish months from now, like, it will be election season again, and like being aware of what school board seats are available and open to run for, and getting really good, great people to run for them is going to be really important. So thanks so much for the call, Dave. Obviously, we always appreciate your input as our local Waukesha parent. So we'll keep this going after the break. What tops your, we're back to school. Back to school. So you can answer the fun question. What did you look forward to when you went back to school? Or what do you remember on your first day of school always? Or what is your top concern for the year when it comes to Wisconsin schools? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back right after the break.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Back to school to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool. I got my lunch packed up, my boots tied tight. I hope I don't get in a fight. Oh, back to school, back to school, back.
If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
That's gross. Get on the bus.
Oh, man. I might be alone, but I don't care if I'm the only one who always thinks about that song and that movie. When it is indeed the first day back to school, which for a lot of kids, today is. And so we're talking about Feelings as the school year starts, specifically, what tops your concerns for this year? And there's not a shortage of things that you can be worried about when it comes to how our schools are, the challenges our schools are facing, both when it comes to staffing, when it comes to parent involvement, when it comes to school boards, and when it comes to outcomes. I mean, obviously, that's the biggest thing here is just are we doing right by our kids as far as giving them the best schools that set them up for success? And so I know Karina's been waiting on the line, so let's go to Karina. What are you concerned about, Karina?
Hi, good morning, guys. Well, about my school, since I'm coming from a different system, it's created differently. It works differently. So I love my school, even though I wasn't like an A student. But seeing your friends, your teachers, it always was exciting and great. Now, American school, my son went to American school because he was born here. And I had anxiety after probably 2 years in the middle school for him because of Walker. Mm. Changing up programs, removing art, music, removing everything what there is extra for a child to a brain to develop appropriately, to have an ability to understand music, to appreciate art, and apply that into other things of life, to connect the dots, you know, just connect the dots. And it went worse and worse to the point where my son would bring a copy of a book with the homework. I wouldn't even know what the book is, what the chapter is all about, what teacher was saying in class. So I bought all the books by myself. I said, this is incredible, ridiculous. And I've seen that the education in America and in school education getting worse. Whatever they do, by removing the books, by removing songs, by removing topics about to talk about it, it's all a degradation of the education. Because education, academic, it's liberal, it's neutral. It has to give you the information. It has to explain and tie it up to other subjects and allow you to be not only thinking straightforward in the whole way, but also take the full enchilada, at least 180 degrees, to look around.
Yeah.
And that scares me because for 10 years, and I don't understand why we're not changing back. The stuff he did do not work. We know because there's less kids going to college, less kids wants to go to college, and only kids who's going to college, the parents will put more tutoring. And taking them to a different extra curriculum so the kids can test out and get the credits and get to the college. Because today's schools do not prepare kids for college. And so, this is the purpose.
Thanks for the call, Karina. So what I'm hearing is you're most worried about just the actual curriculum and that the schools are not preparing kids well enough for success post school. So I think that's a huge concern. Thanks so much for the call. We're going to keep taking your calls, 844-967-2789 on the live stream on Facebook, which you're also always welcome to watch us along with listen to us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just go to As Goes Wisconsin. From Lana Hill, kids who don't have lunch. That is one that I did not list as far as how many kids as they continue to, they being Christina, Representative Christina Shelton, Representative Fran Hong, I know, have sponsored legislation to continue the program that was going on during COVID to just provide school lunches and breakfast to all kids and not have this arbitrary cutoff of you have to, your family has to make less than this. And if you make a dollar more, no free lunch for you. And kids didn't just go hungry. Do we have anything on the text line, Greg?
We do have a text from John in Menominee Falls. Says, the two things I'm most concerned about the beginning of school is how many kids will be killed in school shootings this year and the shortage of funding for our Public schools leading to bigger class sizes, shortage of school bus drivers, mental health professionals, and teachers who are qualified / certified to teach.
That's more than one thing, John.
That's a lot of concern, John. That's a lot of concern.
It is a lot of concern. And all valid.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't know which one you tackle first, as a school board or as our lawmakers come back in session. Obviously, they will be having a special session on September 20th in, 2.5 weeks from now? But that's going to be talking about workforce stuff. But after their short recess, they are coming back, and I don't know what of these will be at the top of their list and their priority to work on. Speaking of being back, the Congress is also back, and weeks away from a government shutdown if they don't get their act together. But that's probably a topic for later in the week. And so one of the things, actually, I put this on the my Twitter poll today as well, but someone left a comment saying they're also still really worried about COVID now that COVID's spiking again. So Dan Schaefer is going to come back after the break. We're going to recombobulate with him. He also has kids, also a concerned parent. So we'll also ask him what's topping his concerns for the year when it comes to schools. But we're also going to talk about 794. We may talk about the amendment that the Republicans have introduced that they want us to vote on potentially eventually so that no one can raise your taxes ever again. All right, we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back.
You're coming along.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack,
triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms overnight, otherwise cloudy. Lows dip down to about 68, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms likely, daytime highs approaching 76. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms, lows level off around 54. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
Favorite shows and hosts.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we got Dan Schaefer here because it's Tuesday, and we are recombobulating. How are you doing, friend? Oh, well, we cannot hear you. Now we can hear you.
Hey, guys.
Good. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing well. Are we a little discombobulated?
We're a little discombobulated today. You know, it's a day after a long weekend, and we're, just moving off the cobwebs a little bit. But we were talking about in the first segment, it's the first day of school for most kids. Lots of kids have already been back. A lot of MPS kids have already been back. According to the news, some kids are already going to be out because it's too hot today. But besides that, the general feeling of it's back to school. And I'll first ask you, did you like going back to school? Was like the first day of school exciting for you, or did you dread it?
I think when I was little, I was really excited to go to school. And the older I got, the less excited I was to go back.
All right. Yeah. I was sad summer was done, but I always liked starting new things. Like I like the beginnings of things, and then I get sick of them and I quit and I move on to the next thing.
Yeah, by the time I hit high school, I had senioritis by like the middle of sophomore year. So I was ready to be done by that.
Yeah, I mean, so you're talking to someone who decided to move to California in the middle of her junior year to pursue acting. So I think I had a little bit of that senioritis pretty early on too. I was like, I'm over this high school thing. Let's go do something else. Well, then this other question, the more serious question, is what, as a parent, out of the plethora of things to be worried about when it comes to schools in Wisconsin right now, what concerns you most?
I don't even know if there's a most on there. It's just all of it. I'm just concerned with all of it, just being as a parent. You know, I think what you had a few options in the poll that you put out this morning, right, with, kind of culture war stuff and staff shortages, funding, whatever else. I'm worried about all of that stuff, absolutely. But I think it's just – You know, I so often will approach these things as a parent is just one day at a time. Because if you're trying to do, if you're trying to just like address the whole wall of sound at once, you're not going to. So it's just figuring out. Like today was just, you know, getting the kids out the door in time.
Yeah.
That was the concern for today. Just making sure we were, you know, going to be have all the stuff and supplies and in the right seat. Tomorrow might be a culture war issue or a funding or staff shortage, but. You know, I think it's so much a parenting as just approaching things one day at a time.
Well, and it's interesting. That's such an interesting perspective as someone who writes about bigger policy issues and stuff that's going, like, that is your job, right? And so if there's any parent that is, I was expecting more of a policy type answer versus a, we're just trying to get them out the door most days. But it's a good reminder, right? As far as like, that's your job. And it's still not even necessarily your first answer, let alone for most of the people who are like, that is just every day is we just have to get them fed. We have to get them out the door. We have to figure out how they're getting there if the bus isn't coming and figuring like looking at the bigger picture, looking at staffing shortages and like how that's affecting them, looking at school board races. Like a lot of people just don't have time to be worried about that because they're just figured like trying to focus on what's in front of them.
Yeah, I will say that education policy is not exactly my forte. So maybe if I was a little bit more of an education policy wonk, I'd be thinking about all of those things. But it's so much of it is just the blocking and tackling of moving the chains and getting those lunches packed and getting the getting the right sheet signed and getting the kids to class on time and just all of those kinds of things.
Your voice as you said that started gathering more like tension, like, and making sure they're wearing shoes when they leave the house and they're my kids.
And where's that water bottle? Yeah, all the different things.
Well, would you say if you're not really an expert and it's not your realm to be talking about education policy, would you say that transportation policy is quickly becoming one of your specialties?
Good segue. Yeah, I guess I have been. Transportation and infrastructure policy is an area that I have done a lot of work in for those who followed my work at the Recombobulation area and elsewhere over the past few years. That's for sure.
And so really, I mean, before it was the stadium highway, which is still in limbo, but the more pressing issue right now is 794, which for this is a statewide show. So we have plenty of people who have no idea probably what we're talking about when we talk about 794, but there is a stretch of highway when you are in downtown Milwaukee, that basically takes you directly to the lake that cuts through what could be buildings, housing, restaurants, walkable area. And we're at an impasse right now as far as last week, correct me if I'm getting this wrong, was the final day for public comment on what we should do with 794. Mm-hmm. And so you wrote more about this. So besides the little recap I just gave, where are we? What's next? Why should we do this?
Yeah, so, you know, this is a very confusing project to talk about because most people specifically associate 794 with the Hone Bridge, and this proposal does not have anything to do with the Hone Bridge. So the Hone Bridge is staying as is. The tear down 794 push does not have anything to do with the
Hone Bridge.
Hone Bridge
will stand.
That very clear. Hone Bridge is staying. The other thing is that a lot of people are asking, just like, well, why now? Why is this conversation starting now? Did we just out of the blue to say, like, let's tear down 794? That's not it either. The impetus for this is in many ways driven by a decision from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, recognizing that a lot of the bridges and on and off ramps and overpasses that are kind of connected to that stretch of 794 in between the Marquette Interchange and the Hone Bridge, they need to be replaced. They're reaching the end of their useful life. When WISDOT initially proposed changes, it was a $300 million proposal to replace a lot of these ramps and bridges. So a lot of people took that and said, well, maybe it's time to think about this differently. Are we going to keep replacing the same ramps and bridges over and over again? Or are we going to potentially, you know, look at this moment and rethink things? And I think that's kind of where the conversation got oriented last year when Thousand Friends of Wisconsin, a number of other groups put forth their proposals to rethink 794, to perhaps tear down 794. So last week's public comment section, you know, it was kind of the deadline for those public comments at the end of the process as they're studying it. And what the city wants to see, and I talked to some city of Milwaukee leaders about this, is that they want to see the next phase of this process to include a meaningful study of what it would cost and what it would mean to remove this stretch, this spur, this lake spur of 794, which has never meaningfully been done before. So, like, people have bandied about the idea before, but it's never officially been studied by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. I think that's what a lot of people want to see right now, whether it's a slimmed down version of you know, reconstructing those on-ramps and bridges, whether it is a full removal. I think they want to actually have the full removal studied as part of this process to get a better understanding of what it is, what it would do. You know, a lot, even a lot of the advocates, like, and I include myself in that, of people who want to remove 794, we want to get a better understanding of how that would impact other roadways, how that would, how we might have to build new bridges over the Milwaukee River, how that would impact access to the port of Milwaukee. There's a lot of things that we'd want to consider, to want to have a better understanding of, and we really want Wisconsin Department of Transportation to actually take this step to study this in a meaningful way.
And it sounds like they, in compared to projects in the past, has your, is your feeling that they are taking this seriously, and as far as like what the public comments that are coming in and how they're being interpreted and applied, that this is somehow different than how DOT has handled public comments in the past?
Yeah, you know, I've covered the WISDOT a lot, and they're not always very receptive to change. They, you know, they will approach a lot of these projects like engineering projects and say, how can we reduce traffic? How can we do this? And it's very like cold and, you know, kind of engineering, science, math, all of that. But let's bring in the actual voices of the people that this would impact. And I think more than before, people, they are listening to people on this project. You know, I know the urbanist Twitter crowd can be loud on Twitter, guilty. But I think also these are people who are showing up to meetings and getting involved and talking to their representatives and really getting into the weeds on these projects. And I think that has really changed the conversation about 794 in a really meaningful way.
Because who, so let's play hypotheticals and that it comes down.
I love playing hypotheticals.
Who owns the land? On the, Mike said this, my husband said this to me the other day as we were talking about it, and I didn't know the answer to it, but like, for like, you know, like there's the pickleball courts that are underneath the, right by the public market. But like in the land that becomes available, is that get gobbled up by developers? Is it owned by the state? Like who owns that right now? Because I was looking at Nate Vaimhoff, who is a great, well, one, a pharmacist, but also moonlights as an incredible drone photographer of Milwaukee landscape and just takes incredible photos. He posted a photo of 794 and how it just splits the city. It's like, yeah. God, that's a lot of concrete, but it's also a lot of land. And so who gets to decide what happens with it if it were to be torn down?
Well, I think it would also involve a collaborative effort with the city, county, and state, because I think there would be all of those stakeholders involved. And so that's why, you know, the city has gotten really involved in advocating for something different here, because it is, you know, obviously it's city land and all of that. So I think, you know, when I talked to Lafayette Crump, who's the commissioner of the Department of City Development, you know, he was talking about this in many ways, that there's a commercial development play here. And so trying to bring in developers and people who would reimagine the space, I think the city's wanting to be more proactive about development than they had in the past. So I think they would want to, you know, incentivize certain types of development, you know, add in some public spaces. I think you could get the county parks involved. And then, you know, and then it is also, it is working with the state because it is a state highway.
Okay.
So, you know, anything that would be torn down, converted, rebuilt, whatever, would have to involve the state making a decision. And the state is ultimately the one making a decision on what's happening next with the next phase of the study as well.
And so it's also interesting, as far as playing into all of this, is the capacity of our downtown, as like far as how many people are coming back downtown, and do we need more commercial real estate? As far as like, does that, and so is that also part of what would be in this study, as far as not only the what and how, but also like, what is the actual need? Because I don't, at least from on its face, it doesn't necessarily seem like we need more office space. It seems like we need more affordable housing.
Office space, no, I think we need more. Yeah, I think housing was really the main, okay. The main thing that the city was talking about, because we are behind in building new housing in Wisconsin in general. And I think, you know, the supply and demand factor of that as well. The rents are going to keep rising the less often that we build and incentivize new and affordable housing, too. So I think that is one thing the city really wants to see is more housing downtown, more people living downtown.
Because I definitely drive by the Ascent, which is the timber building, and then the new one that's not quite done, I think by the same developers, on Van Buren almost daily. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure Ascent is not full. It's a very beautiful building, but I'm not sure it's necessarily full of people who are paying $2,600 a month for a one bedroom. And so more housing that more people can afford would be great. Greg, you said we had a text?
Yeah, someone came in with a very simple idea. Tear down the Stadium Expressway and 794, fix at 6, expand the hop, Amtrak to Madison and Green Bay, done, checked off. That is from the 608.
Easy peasy, west from Middleton. Easier said than done. This is to all of the transportation things. All right, well, we'll keep talking about this with Mr. Dan Schaefer, founder, publisher of the Recombobulation Area, when we come back. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about this amendment. Because we don't, you know, those always go so well as far as how they're phrased once it finally goes up for a vote, right? Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer on this Tuesday, September 5th, back to school. Any last thoughts on the 794 as far as, I mean, I'm sure it's an ongoing project. It won't be the last time we talk about it, but...
Dan, are you muted?
He's not muted.
That's weird.
What did we change between?
That's the music. Uh-oh.
He was there and now he's gone. No, you're not muted, so I don't know exactly what changed between the commercial and now.
Technology.
All right. Well, we will continue to try to work on that. But one of the things that I had touched on last week, but haven't necessarily gotten into yet, is this constitutional amendment requiring 2/3 of a vote to raise taxes. And so I don't know. Are we going to keep trying? Should we call in? Because I don't know if I should move on or we should wait to see if he's going to be able to talk. Do you want to call in, Dan, and we can finish the conversation? 844-967-2789. And then in the meantime, Sue Colossi, the people on the live stream can hear him. So it must be a radio connection.
Okay.
But he will be calling right now and we'll see if we can get him on the phone instead.
Hey there.
There we go. Dan, give you your final thoughts on 794.
Okay. Well, final thoughts on 794. I actually do think you know, as much as this has gotten a lot of attention over the recent weeks and months, and for good reason, I think this is actually the second most interesting freeway removal project happening in the city of Milwaukee. I think the stadium freeway and the prospect of removing that stretch, that little spur of freeway just north of I-94, goes through many, diverse Milwaukee neighborhoods. I think tearing down that freeway would be a much bigger deal for the city of Milwaukee than 794. I think 794, you know, we're talking about downtown. There's been a lot of focus on downtown over the past decade in Milwaukee. I think, you know, there's such opportunity on the west side of town. And we're talking about, you know, what are the Brewers going to do? What is the I-94 expansion? I think removing the stadium freeway would really be a bold move that would really get at some of the core issues that Milwaukee faces in segregation and underinvestment in diverse neighborhoods. And so I think as much as 794 is a big deal, I think stadium freeway is a much bigger deal.
And where are we on that? Is there still a study going to happen? Is there still an appetite as far as people wanting? I mean, there's a lot of people who want to do that, but as far as the actual process of it and the responsiveness to the people who want that, is there political will to do it?
Yeah, I think there is. I think there's, you know, the city is for it, the county is for it, and the state is for it. And so, yes, they're undergoing the study right now. I've heard that could be coming pretty soon as far as designs and what it might look like. And I think, you know, you have a lot of stakeholders that are really interested in doing this and a lot of support for it as well. And so I think this one, you know, we could make it happen, but again, it's still going to be up to Wisconsin Department of Transportation, just like it is with 794. They have often taken the route of wanting to build big, huge highways in and around the city. And so that is not always the decision that Milwaukee wants to see, and that is often the decision that the state makes.
And, you know, before in the last segment we said, this is maybe going to be a cynical question, but in the last segment we said, you know, they often, WISDOT is an engineering mindset as far as solving problems like traffic and such, and not necessarily like community oriented. Is there a more cynical answer as well? Because I think about this every time right now, like I'm up and down 43. Because like it's impossible to get on 43 anywhere in Milwaukee right now. And then going up to Green Bay, right? It's just there's like never ending construction on that freeway, it feels like right now. And like, is there a question of like, who's making money off of all of this? Like, is that a nefarious, is that an obvious thing to ask?
I think it is. No, I think it's, you know, it's a question I've asked as well. I think this is one of those things that both parties are for. You know, Governor Evers has been the one to propose the expansion of the highway here. I think it is, does stand to reason who actually benefits from this. And I think, you know, we saw one example where one of the lead lobbyists from the MMAC on this project got a job with the Wisconsin Road Builders Association. Former Wisconsin Road Builders Association is now the head of the DOT in the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. There is a little bit of a revolving door going on there, and they always seem to want to give a lot of money to the people who are building huge highways.
Yeah, and I think about that because even when Tim Michaels was running for governor last year, like, didn't Michaels Corporation have like millions and millions of dollars of governmental projects? Of like,
yeah, they're one of the main highway builders in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. And so it's just like
the Michaels Corporation. Yeah.
For the people who are still so for this, you know, is it veiled in, I know who's making a profit and how this will profit me indirectly?
There are some political calculations being made with this. Absolutely.
Yeah, there always is. All right. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. Anything else that you want to squeeze in before we let you go? And of course, you're going to be here next week again.
Yeah, we were going to talk about those amendments, I guess, really quick on that. I think there's really a room for compromise in this tax bill. They dropped, you know, the thing that Evers said he would veto no matter what, the tax cuts to the top rate. But they snuck in this provision that said you needed a 2/3 vote for any tax increase in the future forever. And I think, you know, that is just yet another poison pill that Robin Voss injected into this process. I think if you remove that, we're going to have a lot better chance of getting compromised.
Interesting. So you think a lot of what's in the bill is actually appealing, but that it's this two-thirds thing that you're like, no, this is why it's not going to get done?
I think that's the worst piece of it. I think that, you know, the fact that they are keeping the top tax rate as it is means that there's room for compromise. And I think they can get to a solution. I think the governor has talked about this in connection with the special session on child care that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So I think those will kind of, influence each other. But I think there's room for compromise there. Absolutely.
I guess we'll see. We'll talk more about it next week. That special session, this bill, always lots going on. Dan Schaefer, always fun to have you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're taking a break for the top of the hour news. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises, yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bars as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Enrico Tarrio, the former head of the Proud Boys, has been sentenced to 22 years in prison for his role in the January 6th attack. CBS's Skylar Henry with details.
The DOJ recommended a harsher sentence of 33 years for Tarrio, who was convicted of multiple charges, including seditious conspiracy. Prosecutors say he was a primary organizer in the failed bid to stop the transfer of presidential power after Donald Trump lost the 2020 election. Tarrio wasn't in D.C. on January 6th. A prior arrest had banned him from traveling there. But prosecutors say Tarrio organized and led the attack from a hotel room in Baltimore.